have one of the co-authors and co-editors of a book called We Believe You, Survivors of Campus Sexual Assault Speak Out. My guest name is Andrea Pino. Welcome. Appreciate you joining me today for a few moments. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about the reason that you put this book together, and then we'll delve into some of the issues that it brings up and what I think it accomplishes. And I think that you're very strong in doing what you're doing, and I think it's accomplished and has the potential to accomplish a lot. I'll tell you that's my opinion of this right now. But tell me about you and your co-editor, co-author, why you decided to put this together.
Yeah, absolutely. So Annie and I have been working on this issue full-time for about 3 years now. And what we're seeing time and time again is that there are so many stories of people just like us who are just simply not in the headlines. You know, stories of survival, stories of healing, stories of what it means to be an activist, whether it's privately or publicly, that are just simply not getting there. And diverse experiences as well. You know, people of different races, of different sexualities and gender identities, that really paints kind of the bigger picture of just how many people it happens to. And, you know, our goal, you know, within our travels of visiting multiple campuses around the world was, you know, we're seeing these narratives everywhere. And we want that diverse picture to actually be out there. So, you know, the whole goal behind the book is really to create a platform to elevate those voices.
One of the things that strikes me very early on in the book is just the casualness. You talk about the number, how many times this happens, but I'm just struck by the casualness with which this happens. And it's almost like it's an assumed event by colleges and universities, and especially on the male side, too often it's the male side. I mean, that strikes me. Are you aware of that, being involved in this kind of a presentation and with the background and the knowledge you have of this, that it would strike someone of an age old enough by far to have a college student himself? It's so casual.
Absolutely. I mean, rape is very commonplace in our society. You know, sexual assault is as mainstream as anything, unfortunately. And it's always been there, but it's becoming more and more accepted, unfortunately. You know, unfortunately, as we talk more about gender equity, as we talk more about violence, you know, people realize just how commonplace it is and how early it starts. You know, how early our young boys and our young girls are socialized. Our young girls are socialized to not say anything. Our young boys are socialized to be aggressive, and that is, and that's positive. And it translates to violence. You know, unfortunately, violence is on a spectrum. And what we're seeing is that, you know, young men in particular are not aware that, you know, drugging someone before sex is rape. They're not aware that, you know, a lack of a yes is rape. They're not aware that if you have sex with someone who's unconscious, that's rape. You know, there was a case right out of Stanford, you know, in which the young man said, you know, like, I didn't see that as rape. You know, she was unconscious. You know, you had two witnesses who were like, this woman's clearly not moving. Like, this is not okay. Like, you know, they apprehended the guy. You know, but he, in his mind, he says, I don't understand how that was rape.
Yeah.
But, you know, to everyone else, you know, now that he was convicted, we're clearly aware that he's a rapist. But it's the idea that young men are never talked to, that these type of behaviors are a crime. You know, in many ways, they think it's just a mistake. They think it's just a regret. And that's because we just do not talk about the difference between consensual sex and rape.
Let me bring up a couple of other things. You mentioned the Stanford, and that swimmer, the All-American swimmer, was found guilty late in March. This is another story that has just come out a couple of days before we record this interview. And it comes from Harvard, and it's talking about their what are called final clubs that have been all male clubs. And a statement from one of the Harvard grads in 1982 just blew me away when I read this. And it was an interesting one, and I wondered your opinion on this. He sent us to the Harvard Crimson that if these clubs had to accept women, that would only make sexual assaults more likely. After all, women can be sexually assaulted, cannot be sexually assaulted if they aren't there. That's a mind-blowing statement of just a total naivety or blindness to the situation.
I think it's honestly misogyny. And that's, you know, it makes us uncomfortable to name it that, but it is misogyny. And you know, one of our contributors, you know, who was an undergrad at Harvard, her name is Ariane, and, you know, she talks about her experience at Harvard and what it meant to write an anonymous letter, Dear Harvard, you win, and now come out as a survivor. And Camila Willingham, you know, who has now been known, you know, about her fight to hold Harvard Law School accountable. I mean, Harvard has a long history of not being very kind to women. And what we're seeing is that that's the same excuse that the military has had for not having women in combat roles. It's like, we can't have women in the military because they're going to get raped. You know, it's not about holding our soldiers accountable. It's not about holding our college men accountable. It's about how can we keep women from putting themselves in these situations. You know, the onus is always on potential victims and not on potential perpetrators. And I think it's you know, I talk about this often, how we have to move away from a culture of awareness and go more towards a culture of accountability. Like, we need to hold the finals clubs accountable. We need to hold the military accountable for what's happening in terms of sexual assault. It's not about barring an entire gender of people from this opportunity, because that, beyond anything, is a violation of Title IX on college campuses. You know, it's the exact same excuse that we heard in the 60s as to why women shouldn't be going to college. And it's been a very constant excuse that we're seeing from predominantly male groups. Same thing with businesses. Same thing with law firms. You know, women shouldn't be in these roles because they put themselves in danger. You know, we're not looking at holding those men accountable, and we have to.
I need an hour to two with you to do this interview, and I only have about a minute or two left. For fair treatment of victims, for fair treatment of victims to occur, what needs to happen next and now?
I think we move away, like I said earlier, move to a culture of accountability. That's something that needs to happen right away. You know, we say in the book that believing survivors is still considered a radical act, and it should not be. You know, we see the media cookie cutter stories to try to make them as perfect as possible, you know, but we still see this amount of backlash, you know, whether it's Lady Gaga or Kesha or the Gomeshi victims in Canada. You know, we're seeing this constant attacking of victims that come forward, and we don't see a society that believes them first. And that's exactly why we titled the book We Believe You, because we want that to be the first thing survivors hear. And you know, beyond believing survivors, you know, we need to hold our institutions accountable, you know, whether it's your alma mater or it's the military or it's the church. You know, we really do need to move towards a culture that actually holds our institutions accountable.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination of why, and I wish we had more time to talk about this, why you go to the university first to file a complaint rather than to police. I mean, the options are there. You can go to both. You can go to neither. You can go one and not the other. And there's explanation for why it makes more sense to do one thing other than the others. But, boy, for those of us who are learning about this and understanding what the challenges are, I think your book is a pretty good educator on that. So I appreciate you joining us for an interview, and also appreciate you for putting this book out. Thank you.
Thank you so much.